you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Jason Goff, and I'm joined by my teammates, Will Perdue and Kendall Gill. Coming up on the show, we'll discuss the Bulls season preview, the updates on the new roster, how pieces will fit, Zach LaVine off the ball, Patrick Williams year two, and also the Bald Mamba, Alex Caruso.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste, filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness, and packaged cold for peak refreshment, because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you guys about this team. The Bulls went out and had maybe the best offseason of any team in the NBA. So we're here now. What are you guys most excited for this Bulls season?
I'm most excited about seeing them offensively and defensively put it all together. When I went to watch them a couple weeks ago at practice, Will, I said Lonzo Ball is the key to everything because of his high basketball IQ, his willingness to play his position. He's point guard first. He's not one of those guys, and you guys know I don't like those shoot first point guards. He's looking to get all of his teammates involved right away.
I think so. And the thing that I'm most excited about at the present moment is the fact that I feel like the personality of this roster has totally changed. And what I mean by that is now I think these are foxhole guys. Mm. You know, you talk about teammates, but you talk about Donnie Bach, remember?
Right, yeah.
Would you take this guy? Would you want this guy in the foxhole with you? You want to take this guy to battle? I think even though some of the guys are still the same, their personality has changed. And I think because of that, they're foxhole guys now instead of just teammates and good guys. And also I think now because of that, Billy won't have to do the dance with his post-game press conferences. Yeah. I think he can be a little more transparent. These guys won't get their feelings hurt because I don't think their egos are as fragile as they were in years past. And that means that I think there's going to be more accountability with this team as well.
Yeah, a lot of guys who aren't just figuring things out, guys who have been there and done right, that. Yeah. Even the younger guys like Lonzo, he's been in the league now 4-plus years. Yeah. He is a young veteran, so looking forward to that. Let's quickly recap the notable roster moves the Bulls have made. Starting with last season's trade deadline, Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley were very active, acquiring 5 players on deadline day, with the centerpiece being Vooch, Nikola Vucevic. And if you take a look at it, you got Javonte Green, mm-hmm. you got Lonzo Ball, you got Troy Brown, you got DeMar DeRozan, right. You got Alex Caruso. This has been quite the overhaul. What is it, Kobe White and Zach LaVine are the only guys from 2 years ago that are still on the team. What comes into play when you have that much roster overhaul, KG?
Well, what comes into play is whether they can play together right away. And that was the big conundrum with Billy Donovan right away. Now I got this influx of talent, guys that are experienced. How am I going to put it all together to make it work? I had that experience when I went to the Seattle Supersonics. You know, we had Detlef Schrempf, Sean Kemp, Ricky Pierce, myself, Gary Payton, Sam Perkins. But somehow we were able to put it together because of the veteran experience that we had. And I think you're going to see the same thing with this current Bulls team.
You know, again, it's little stuff is leaking out, right? But I loved when they had that video from the open practice. And Caruso, not even practicing at the moment, steps out from the sidelines and talks about the defensive adjustments and things they got to do on the defensive end of the floor. And this is where this team has to communicate, and then that's where the trust comes from. We know this team is lacking trust in the past. You know, they did a pretty good job on a 24-second shot clock. They did a really nice job for about 18 seconds on the defense, and then it just blew up. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when I go back to that accountability aspect and the veteran players that they do have, they're going to start pointing some fingers at some guys. And Kendall knows this. You don't want to be that guy.
Right.
And that'll change how you approach the game on the defensive end of the floor.
Kendall mentioned that guy, and that's the point guard. This is a situation that we've talked about over the last couple of years. The head of the snake, right? The general, the floor leader. Right. Well, they got one in Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball has been through a lot in his early NBA career with the Lakers and then obviously with the Pelicans, Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram kind of rising to the leadership roles in that team. Now he's a Chicago Bull, and he said, because they wanted me to be here and they want me to be myself. How important is Lonzo to the success of this franchise?
I think he's the most important player on the team because he is the quarterback that we need. I think that you look at him defensively, he's awesome. You look at him offensively, he can knock down the shots, finishing the top 20 in three-point shooting last season. A lot of people don't know that because he's always been criticized about his shooting, but he worked hard. Ben Simmons, are you listening? He worked hard on his jump shot in the offseason, and that's why he's here. That's why he got a big contract, and I think that's why he's a major piece of this team right now.
Will, another addition that we talked about this offseason, DeMar DeRozan, is a guy who's seen playoff success. This is a guy who's made a bunch of money. He's chasing a championship now and could have went anywhere in the league, and he decided to do it with the Chicago Bulls.
And I love his addition, most notably for the last 6 minutes in the game, because the problem in the past was last 6 minutes, we knew where the ball was going to be. It's going to be in the hands of Zach LaVine. Ooh. What does Zach have a propensity to do sometimes? Turn the ball over with indecision. So I like the fact that, A, and I think this is going to happen quite a bit, you can put the ball in the hands of DeMar DeRozan late in games, and he is a guy that has that mid-range game.
That's right.
And what else can he do? Get to the free throw line. And all of a sudden now, the defense of your opponents, they're not 100% sure who to focus on, who to take the ball out of whose hands. Because even if you take it out of Zach's hands, you got DeMar. If you take it out of DeMar, you got Zach.
Yeah, and an underrated aspect of getting to the free throw line, you guys know that. Sometimes it slows down momentum. You know, if you're on an 8-0 run or a 10-0 run, you get to the line and settle some things down.
Well, that's what makes Jimmy Butler so good.
Yeah. Yeah, to the line.
We know that he can get to the free throw line 10 or 12 times in the fourth quarter.
It's like having a good run game in the NFL.
Yeah,
you know, got to run the football sometimes, and that's what going to the free throw line does in the NBA.
All right, a guy who's going to be not just a fan favorite, but I think an NBA favorite because he isn't under the glare or he's going to have the spotlight of the Lakers and LeBron on him, the Bald Mamba, Alex Caruso. this is a dude who everybody could watch for the first time probably and say, all right, what's this guy going to do? He's not sneaky athletic. He's very athletic. He's one of the better defenders in the game. He's going to get you a good three or four extra possessions with deflections and loose ball situations. And he's got a better playmaking eye than I ever thought in watching him in the preseason.
He sure does. Has the championship pedigree, having won a championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. And this is one of those guys like Daniel Tice was last year that you need coming off of your bench. But I think that he's going to add more than Tice did because of his defensive ability, because of his athleticism, and because of his ability to put the ball through the basket.
I know this is a little thing, but what I love the most about Caruso is the fact that he is self-made. This guy came up the hard way as far as through the G League, bouncing around teams, getting cut. He takes nothing for granted. He realizes how fortunate he is to be in this position. Plus, he's very humble. He puts it on the line every single night.
No doubt about it. With Lonzo and DeRozan, both capable ball handlers and playmakers, Zach LaVine will likely spend more time off the ball than in years past. Here's LaVine on learning how to play in that new role.
I feel good with it. Learning when to get off the ball and let other guys operate and get into those, you know, those lanes and play in transition. You know, I did it just this past year, this past summer in the Olympics. So learned to play off the ball there. And it's a blessing to have all these different weapons and have, you know, go-to guys, other number one options on the team that, you know, you get the ball and get out their way. And, you know, I'll be here when you need me.
I'll be here when you need me. I think it's going to be a little bit more pressing
than that.
A little
bit more than that. Yeah.
What kind of tailoring to his game does he have to do? How do you get through those waters, having the ball in your hands for the last 2 years consistently, and then maybe that tapering off a little bit with all the talent?
It may taper off a little bit, but Zach is really efficient. I mean, you look at his numbers in the preseason, average 22.5 points a game, 51% from the field, also 50 from 3-point. So he really doesn't need a lot of shots to get his offense going. He's going to have nice where he goes off the 30, but then he's going to have a lot of nice where he just has 18 points a game, you know, and DeRozan has 25, and, you know, Vucevic has 20. So, but I still think that it is going to benefit Zach. It's going to save him for later on in the preseason. He's not, I mean, the postseason, he's not going to have to grind it out like he did last year. The defense will not be focused totally on him. It's going to be easier.
Well, I think that's going to help him with his shot selection. Because, you know, as well as he played last year, the fact that he was an all-star, what was the one thing we talked about occasionally? Shot selection at times was questionable. But I think part of that was because he felt like, hey, I got to carry the load.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he took some bad shots. So I think the most important thing to Zach now is, I don't care if I have to score 40, I'll do it. If I'm only have to score two, I'll do it. But the most important thing to him is getting that W now every night, because he's realized playing on the Olympic team, being on the All-Stars, I'm sure he's just, you know, constantly talking to DeRozan. You know, he is now wanting to know, what's my legacy going to be in this league? Because right now, hey, great player, but you've never been on a winning team.
Right.
He now wants to be on that winning team. He wants to get to the playoffs. I think he's going to play hungry this year.
I'm looking forward to those legs not only being fresh in the postseason, but in fourth quarters defensively and offensively. Welcome to our Bulls Insider, Casey Johnson, Evanston's finest, by the way, ladies
back to you,
and gentlemen.
Baby.
Yeah. Casey, always good to see you, man. So, you know, I talked to you and Rob Schaefer on the pod often about this, but let the people know, what's the theme, what's the feeling around this Bulls team right now? We talked about the offseason, we talked about Zach, we talked about the young players. Right now, what's getting you right now in the mode for NBA basketball?
I think one thing that's jumping out to me about this team, guys, and we'll touch on it a little bit with his point about Foxhole guys, is these guys all have chips on their shoulders. They've accomplished stuff individually. But other than DeMar DeRozan, you haven't had a guy go deep into the playoffs. And they're tired of losing. They're tired of not going deep in the playoffs. You got a bunch of guys who have something to prove, starting with Zach LaVine. I mean, it's time to stop talking and start winning. You got Nikola Vucevic, who, you know, is tired of losing and tired of having a rebuilding situation in Orlando. So collectively, I think these guys coming together are coming together at the right time.
There were definitely growing pains for Patrick Williams in year one. With that being said, he's expected to remain in the starting unit this year. What are Billy Donovan and the front office expecting from P. Will this season?
Well, I want to get your guys' take on this, because you guys were always on him about his aggressiveness or lack thereof at times. There are too many times he disappeared in the season. And this is my question to you guys. How does he become more aggressive when you add the firepower they did in a DeMar DeRozan, in a Lonzo Ball, in even Alex Caruso? I asked Billy that, and Billy said one thing that he can do is, you know, it might not always be shot attempts. He averaged 7.4 shots per game last season. He can run the floor hard in transition. He can drag defenders to the corner with running through. He can just be a presence and create space with his shooting ability. But I don't know, man. I still see tendencies for – I know it's only one preseason game, but I still see tendencies of him drifting. So how does he assert himself when they've added this kind of
fireball? You know, what I would do if I was him, there's no pressure on him, much like Andrew Wiggins now with the Golden State Warriors. There's no pressure on him. All right? So go out, be as aggressive as he can. We all know how talented he is. But now he's got all this firepower on him. We don't expect him to score. So go out. It surprises, B. Will.
And I think one of the things that Billy Donovan is doing quietly is playing him at the four and the five, is putting in a position to where he can defensive rebound and not having to make that initial pass. Yeah. You know, because you think about, okay, if I'm in there mixing it up and I get the rebound and I got to find the outlet, where's the outlet? Now valuable seconds are ticking off the shot clock. He comes in and gets it. He can just spin around and go. Now he's out there, and we saw this a little bit last year, but I wish we could see it a lot, hopefully to see it a lot more this year. You're going, you're looking to attack. And if nobody steps in, then you can take it all the way to the rim and finish. He's got that body to take the contact, but he's also smart enough to make the right pass. I think that'll help him become more aggressive. And there's got to be somebody besides Billy Donovan that's constantly on his butt all 82 games. And I'm talking about throughout the game and the quarter, through minutes, and be like, dude, way too passive. We need you.
Seemed
to
like
more
Zach
aggressive.
Was trying to take that role with the Olympic team.
Yeah,
you know, he was putting up Instagram messages of him like, "I see you, Rook." You know, and then obviously they were practicing against the select team. So, would it be Zach, or would it be somebody else on that team that could kind of foster that relationship?
Yeah, I mean, he's talked about trying to learn from DeMar DeRozan as well, and obviously you've got a great example there. But to your point, well, I found it very telling after last game that Billy said he wants to see more of Patrick Williams at the five. Mm-hmm. And the only reason he didn't use that matchup longer, or that look longer, is because Steven Adams came in. And that's not a good matchup. You don't want that matchup. But the fact that he tried him at five and then post-game said, that's a look I want to go to again. That's pretty telling. So I think you're going to see Patrick Williams in situations like that.
And that's why I know Kendall talks about Lonzo. I think Patrick Williams is the guy that is the most important for this team because of what he can do, not only on the offensive end, but who he's going to have to guard on the defensive end. Yeah.
Speaking of guarding people, you know, Kendall knows you can't play basketball at the University of Illinois without guarding people.
That's true.
Right? Ayo Dosunmu is a guy who first-round talent gets drafted in the second round. Mm-hmm. He's here in the NBA now to guard people, and then that offensive game will come about. What do you see his lot in the NBA life being his rookie year?
I see it a hard path to rotational minutes. But here's what every time I've run that by somebody, everyone's always said, don't count that dude out. That's always the feedback I've gotten back from this guy. They say he's a tough-minded guy who's a big-time shot maker in big-time moments, doesn't shy from the moment, and he's physical. I actually did not think he looked that good in summer league.
No.
But I thought he played very well in the preseason, which is, to me, speaks to kind of his mindset, that he's able to get past that experience and play better in the next level.
Right. You know, I had the opportunity to speak with him a couple times this summer, and I told him, listen, at the University of Illinois, you had the ball in your hands. I know they were playing him off of the ball in summer league. Notice in the preseason, he has the basketball in his hands. He's much more aggressive, much more in tune with the game. If he can do that, get the ball off of the glass if he's not playing the point guard position, push it, explore his options, then I think he can be effective and also play great defense. I think that he can get some minutes. Not going to have a lot of minutes, but he can get his feet wet.
Here are some of the Bulls' defensive numbers from last season. They finished middle of the pack in defensive rating and were very effective against the long ball. Pick and roll defense was the most glaring issue last year, but with two excellent defenders added to the roster in Lonzo and Caruso, can the Bulls take a step forward on that side of the ball this year?
Absolutely, they're going to take a step forward. And, you know, you also have guys coming off the bench like Green, that's a defensive stalwart. Mm-hmm. I think that now the defense has become contagious. When I was at that practice a couple weeks ago, that's what these guys focused on most of all. They want to stop teams and prove that they can really play deep.
Listen, we know what teams are going to do, all right? They're going to run their offense. It gets late in the shot clock. Then they're going to bring Vooch's man out, set a little screen roll, because most of the big guys have trouble moving their feet, right? So that means that these guys, what you just saw, Caruso, DeMar, Zach, they're going to look to go over the top so that Vooch doesn't have to slide and help. And so he can basically, as they say, guard two, use his wingspan to slow the man down, stay next to his man so he doesn't have to come in and force the rotation. But it all starts with that first guy trying to get over the top of the screen, not getting lazy and just settling for going under.
All right, the Bulls season kicks off this Wednesday at the Detroit Pistons. Pregame live starts at 5:30 p.m. right here on NBC Sports Chicago. Then it's back to Chicago on Friday for the home opener versus the New Orleans Pelicans. So, guys, it's prediction time. Where do the Bulls finish in the East this season when it's all said and done? KG, we're going to start with you.
I'm going to be bold.
All right.
Oh, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say four.
What?
The reason why.
Ooh. Okay, I'm
listening. I don't feel like Atlanta's better than the Bulls. I don't feel like the 76ers are better than the Bulls.
Okay.
I like Brooklyn. I like Milwaukee. We'll throw Miami in there since they signed Kyle Lowry. But I like the Bulls as the fourth seed.
All right. You, Will? I think we're on the same page.
That's bold right
there.
Yeah, it is. But I'm going to be more realistic, and I'm going to go sixth. And the reason why I say that is because I think their start's going to be tough. They got to win those first four games. They got to, because in their next 13, they probably won't even be favored in half of them because they got the Nets, they got the Bucks, they got the Knicks twice. So they're going to be tested early.
Yeah, I think sixth as well. I think they're going to stay out of that play-in scenario, 7-10. Obviously, they didn't get that last year. I do think that the Heat might be a little bit better than the Bulls. I think the 76ers, even with their drama that they got going on, I think Joel Embiid is good enough to carry them for a regular season, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, somewhere around there, I think they'll be in that 5-6 range.
You know I like deep dish pizza, right?
Yeah,
you know I like deep dish pizza, right?
I know.
That's what you guys owe me when the Bulls finish.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
I cannot wait for this. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us because you know you love us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning. But until then, take care of each other and be safe.